The Lord is good. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's one song I usually this Pastor Julius usually want me to raise that song from time to time because I sing it so well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though I may not have the voice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Raise your hand and say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I say the Lord is good.
The
Lord is good.
All
if you believe the Lord is good, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. My Lord Jesus is good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
I want to shout it to the whole world. I want to testify to the whole world. I want to say to everybody that the Lord is good. Amen. Please, you go and take a seat. God bless you all. Today, I ask the Lord to bless this service in Jesus' name. We started by testifying that the Lord is good. Our scripture is going to be taken from Psalm 23, verse 6. Father, bless your name. Let your name be glorified. We believe in your goodness. We believe in your providence. We believe in your power, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Read with me Psalm 23, verse 6. Everybody, close this auditorium. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I say that this is probably one of the most recited, memorized verse in all the scriptures. At the end of every prayer or meeting or service, we say, surely, surely, that means certainly, undoubtedly. What? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will do what? Dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. It is a testament of faith. Believing in the Lord's goodness and saying it out. It's acknowledgement that God is good. And that providence is real. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our title for this message is Truly Trust in God's Goodness and Providence. I repeat, truly, I want you to mark that word today, truly, trust in God's goodness and providence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Providence is the power of God that he has over the universe to do good, to choose, to do whatever he wants. But he does it for our good. Amen? So when we testify that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, it's a testament that we believe God of goodness, God of mercy. And we go on to testify this to every man as we speak it out. But I believe today that a better understanding of this can help us, can help each one of us, and those of us who might be at home or anywhere in the world watching us at this hour. A better understanding of this scripture as we're going to bring it will help us to understanding that we need to believe God, and we need to know that the outcome of this testimony depends on us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. To avoid pitfalls that many has fallen into over the years, to avoid the pitfalls of crash and burn, that many have fallen in because of misconception of God's goodness and providence. Because many are times when what I usually call the midnight hour, the crisis hour, when situations change contrary to our prayer, our belief, many have made pitfalls and they crash and burn. And many have used it as an excuse not to serve God anymore. Because when in the phase of life, you start noticing that things is not going according to your prayer or belief system. And then the enemy will come and whisper to your ear, the agent of darkness will come and start to tell you, didn't you believe in God's goodness? Where is it? And trials that follow and things that follow, it doesn't seem to have an end. And you look at the horizon, and goodness and mercy seems to be MIA, what the military call missing in action. You look, nothing. You try to see, it doesn't look like goodness and mercy is there again, or providence of God. And then the enemy starts to whisper these things to you, and before you know it, you start to doubt God's providence. You start to doubt God's goodness. The vivid picture he will paint in the date of the night, early in the morning, or during the day. These things start to show you, shake you up, and you start, well, is that God's goodness? Is he still with me? And many of us have gone through that process. And you start feeling what we might call abandonment syndrome. Does God still love me? Does he care for me? Is he still there for me? That might be a legitimate question to you, but today I want to bring a different viewpoint. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At this point, you need to learn to relax in the hands of the Lord. At this point, you need to come to the knowledge that God never fails. Amen? No matter how we may look. Man is designed, you and I are designed to seek after God. Our soul yearns for the Lord. The scripture says, as the heart panted after the waters, so does my heart taste after the living God. That is the way we are designed, created, to look unto that resource of help. And when you start doubting or start shaking or you crash and burn or abandonment syndrome sets in and it goes to a higher level, the soul within you dies. And that is what happens many times because we don't have a good understanding of God's goodness and providence. Few days ago, I was reading the news on my phone, and I looked and I saw two publications that caught my attention, and that publication is, it says, John Steingard, I think I pronounced it right. The younger one will probably know this name, the older one may not. He's a lead singer with Hawk Nelson Group, a Christian band that is known probably all over the whole world and may have millions of followers. The lead singer, John, was raised a Christian, a son of a pastor. And he testified in that publication that everybody I know, everybody around me, everything around me is all about Christian from my childhood. But he came out and said something that stunned a lot of people. He said, I now have doubts. I don't believe in God anymore. I'm sure that many young generations may be affected by that word. That I don't believe in God anymore. This is somebody that I've championed maybe the faith. I don't know much about him. But the publication says he's a Christian lead singer. A band. And another publication also said that there was a survey being conducted among the youths in the world and stuff. And there is this place they called a place they go to work out, a place they go to kind of fellowship in kind of environment, workout system called CrossFit and Soul Circle. The two popular ones among them. It's all over the United States. It's a workout place. They have a place designed for the younger one to come together and mix up and interact and so on and so forth. And one of them quoted, and I said, he says, now CrossFit is my religion and Soul Circle is my cult. God is out of the equation. And two things that these two people, John and these other ones that made the quote we are talking about, is that how can there be a good God in the midst of this evil and he's not intervening? He's not doing something about it. If God is that good, they're saying, how can he see all the evil that is happening? The wars, the famine, the desolation, COVID-19, all of them put together, how can there be a good God and he does not intervene? That's because of limited understanding. I'm not going to address your question, but I'm going to point you to some facts this morning. I said here, we must divest ourselves of what is becoming a popular opinion, that by the virtue of our strength or our prayers or our petitions or our faith in God, that God is obligated to solve all our problems to our liking. I want you to mark that word. Solve our problem to our liking. The way I like it. I want more salt in the soup. I don't want salt and this. The way I prefer it. The way it resonates with me. The way I really want it. This prayer I've made, I believe God, I fasted, I prayed. My faith is so great in God. And I believe him. And so God must solve this problem according to my liking, the way I want it. So by this, we set limits to which we can carry our cross. We now limit, say, this is how far I'm going to carry the cross we are called to bear. Faith preaching in the world today, the ministers in the TV and different pulpit, and even maybe myself at times, it is more like we are giving God ultimatum. What we want, how we want it, when we want it, what he must do, because we have such a great faith. The ultimatum we are giving God is not right. It's contrary. For God is God and is God alone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to know that God has right. Today, everybody claims rights. I have my right. You have your right. This person have their right. Everybody have right. But the way we are looking at God at times is that God doesn't have a right again. Not only does God have rights, God also have prerogative. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the exclusive right of God and God alone. To make decision, to do what he likes or what you don't like. And if you don't like it, remember one of our pastors, you can move to your own planet. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he is God. But I do understand that it's looked to lack of understanding that make people to go to this level. Now, to the point of the message I want to bring this morning, I'll read. If you truly trust God's goodness and providence, you will determine your stand at the end from the beginning. That is strange. You will determine what your attitude will be at the end right from the beginning of that circumstances. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You will decide to accept the outcome and render thanksgiving to God. And as I was preparing this message, I now understand, because it's a question I've asked God, I've asked myself, I don't understand, I've asked people, why in God's name did God say, in all things, give thanks? When the going is good, give thanks. When the going is bad, he say, give thanks. When you are on the mountaintop, he say, give thanks. When you are on the valley, he say, you ought to give thanks. When the storm of life is throwing you around, he says, so still give thanks. When the billows of life is throwing you up and down, he says, still give thanks. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. When there is no solution in sight, it looks like, he says, still give thanks. When the dawn doesn't seem to break over the situation, God still says, give thanks. And I start looking at the people in the Bible. And I'm going to bring some of them out as soon as I can. And all of them decided what they stand they will take in the end from the beginning of the circumstances. Let us look at Job quickly. Job made a statement I want to you to consider this morning. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He made a statement that no matter what the outcome is, no matter what the situation might be, no matter the outcome of my situation, yet will I trust God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They didn't wait until the end of the matter or the end of the situation to decide what their stand will be. That is where we have this misconception of God's goodness and providence. Yes, you have to believe God. Amen. I said here, you have to believe God. Amen. You have to exercise your faith. You have to even testify in advance. I say that. Confess his unfailing promise. Be constant and unwavering. Believe him. Even if it means even like Jeremiah said, 29:11. He said, I know the thought I have towards you, thought of good and thought of to give you your expected end. He said, yes, believe it. Say it. Put your life on the line even on that. But decide your stand, what the stand will be at the end from the beginning. Give God the prerogative, right? If the outcome is not to your liking, still give him thanks for his goodness and providence. He alone knows the beginning from the end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, we believe in God's goodness to this amount that we say, hey, the outcome have to be to the way I like it, to the way I pray, to the way I decide it. But that God may differ with you in opinion on that. And so many crash and burn. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they believed God also. When they were about to be thrown into the fire, they made a statement that shows me they believe that they will still thank God no matter the outcome. The king says, will you recount against God? They say, we will not even consider it. Two statements. I know that God is able to save and deliver us from this situation. But even if he will not, amen, even if he will not at the end, it doesn't make no difference. We've already taken decision from the beginning, no matter the outcome. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Job, we are talking in the beginning. He saw all this calamity, everybody around him come and say, hey, it's time for you to pack up and, you know, just give up on the Lord. Say, will you take the good and not the bad also? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said that even in the midst of this situation, there is something that cannot be taken away from me. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And nothing will take that away from me. Therefore, no matter the outcome, I will still give thanks. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I also noticed that people who made this decision, God works over time on their behalf to make sure that they actually give that thanks. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because they have made a decision from the beginning that the outcome will not affect their thinking. That the outcome will not determine whether they will give thanks or not. That they will not crush and burn or fall into pitfall. It may be that that prayer for that job, that prayer for that this, that prayer for that that you are believing God for, it didn't pan out the way you want it to be, but I will still say that my Redeemer liveth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Habakkuk decided from the beginning what his attitude will be at the end. He says, although the fig tree does not blossom, amen, and there is no fruit in the vine field, The labor of the olives has failed. The field did not yield any meat, and there's no flocks in the stall, no herds in the stall. He says, yet, amen, yet will I rejoice in the God of my salvation. This looks like somebody, maybe a famine in something that is happening that is so deadly, just destroy everything. This is how they look at currency in those days, by what they have. He was dead broke. And he said, no matter the outcome, I will still say that the Lord is good and that providence is working to my favor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have to stop giving ultimatum to God. We need to believe him. We need to confess it. We need to stand our ground. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at all the heroes of faith in the Bible, in Hebrews. Every one of them, because of what they will see at the end, what they have believed in for the outcome in the end, they become heroes of faith today. But they went through fire. Some of them did not make it. Some of them died in the process. Some of them were persecuted. Their resources were confiscated by the government. They were wanderers in desert. They were out there. They were out. Everything was happening. Yet, they did not give up on the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The city of Providence in Rhode Island by Roger. I think his name is Roger somebody. I wrote his name down here. Roger Williams. He went through hell, because he stood up that religious liberty has to be established in early America. The government that was then was anti-that. He was persecuted. He ran out of, they threw him out of room when they're about to go and cut him or kill him or whatever. And he was stranded in the desert with so many Indians and stuff, and providence worked to his favor. I can't go into detail due to time. But at the end of the day, he came out and founded a city that's still standing today. And the name of that city was called Providence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is still standing today in Rhode Island. Because he said, he decided that no matter the outcome in the day in this issue, that providence still works on my favor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your attitude should not be what comes out of it, but that whatever comes out of it, I will still give praise to God. This young man, these people that are testifying negatively on this news and stuff, and saying that I will no more follow God, I will no more serve God, because the Lord is not good, it's because they have set a standard for God. It's because they have given God an ultimatum. It's because they have said, this is the way I want it to be. But God chooses it to be otherwise. We don't know all the mind of God. If we know, we know a little of it, what he has revealed to us. God has reasons for whatever he does. My own attitude will be, if this situation does not come out the way I want it, yet will I praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. David, who quoted Psalm 23, verse 6. I looked at the life of David. I looked at the triumphs or the victories in his life and the tragedies in David's life. And I start to wonder, how does this guy say this? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let me name some of the tragedies. But he's still saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As a youth, he has the worst job you can ever think of. A shepherd. And what happened is that lions and bears are trying to kill him. Are any of you willing to take up a job that lions and bears are willing to kill you today? You quit that job like nothing immediately. But that was his job. Yes, he turned to a testimony, but that was a hazardous job. David was still saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. As a young man, God decided to anoint him king over Israel. And his family doesn't even know he existed. They threw a party for him without inviting him. They called all the sons of Jesse. But David was not among them. And when Samuel has prayed and looked at it, no, God has not chosen any of them. Well, do you have any other child? Can you imagine that? And they say, well, yeah, there's one small one that is in the wilderness tending to the flock. Go bring him. And that is the person that God chose. He wasn't even recognized by his family. He wasn't acknowledged. He wasn't respected by his family. But he still says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen? David, in his own time, was pursued by king of Israel. For years, he was pursued to be killed by the military might of Israel. He has to pretend to be mad in order to survive. He has to pretend to be a crazy person in order to survive in a strange land at a point. Even when he became king, troubles was everywhere. His children killed one another. One of his children tried to overthrow him as a king. One abused his own sister. Now, many times he has to be running for his life. Even in his time, there was COVID-19 that killed at 370,000 under his reign. But he still said what? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because he has made a determination from the beginning that no matter the outcome, no matter the end result, I will still trust in God's goodness and in providence. But today we set a standard for the Lord. Unless it is my way, unless it is the way I've prayed it, unless it's the way I've believed it, then it has to be. I say, believe God. I quoted that. Do not doubt God. Do not waver. But still know that God has the right. He retains the right, the exclusive right, to make decision at the end of the day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we round up here, quickly point out in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, the only other scripture we are going to read, Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? Go on, 30. 30, please. He said, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And then 31. For ye fear ye not, therefore, ye have more value than many sparrows. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Kavila Martin was the wife of a pastor, a minister, a Baptist minister. And they have a lady. And a husband that they know, Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle. And they went to visit these two couple. And when they went to see them, what they saw there was such that it brought their own hearts down. The woman has been bedridden for 20 whole years. The husband was in wheelchair. So one is bedbound, as the medical terminology will say, and the other one is wheelchair bound. But when they stepped into that house, the attitude they see from this woman and the husband was such that they were astounded. And when they went home, the woman couldn't sleep. Because they asked that woman a question at the end of the discussion, say, how is it? How can you hold up under this situation? How is that smile on your face? How is this positive attitude that you still have? What is going on? What is the secret? The woman crept in and said, well, his eyes is also on the sparrows. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If he will look at the sparrows of the field that are worth nothing, then he also watches me. That attitude moved this woman, then he wrote his hymn, and then he started quoting it, and we're singing it today, and we're celebrating it. That his eyes is on the sparrow. And I know that God still watches over me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be in that horrible pit, that habitation of discouragement, hopelessness, and despair, and prevailing doom. In that valley of fearful shadows, the heavens are like brass, and everything you cannot even see beyond from that pit to the mountaintop or the heavenly sky. And you say, why should I feel discouraged? As you start to say here, why should I, the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? You may say at this point, because of what is going on with your life at this point. And your soul longs for heaven and home. Then remember that Jesus Christ is still your portion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And he is a constant friend. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And that even as his eyes is on the sparrows of the field, know that Jesus Christ still watches over you. And speaking to everybody who might be listening this morning, divert yourself from that mindset that God has to do things to your liking. That the outcome has to be to exactly the way you want it. It doesn't negate your faith. It doesn't take your faith away from you. You have to believe God. But have to know also that God reserves the right to make the final decision. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And no matter what that decision is, as the praise team start coming up, know that God will be able to uphold you. It is really a rough time for many out there in the world. My heart reaches out to this young man and to these people that were being interviewed. And because they felt that God is failing them, they have no more. They don't want any stake in the Lord again. I pray that God will restore them to him, because God is good. That is the nature of God. It cannot be questioned. God is good, and God of providence is still working for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. For everybody who is watching now, reach out to them and help them, Lord. Everybody who is calling out to you at these dark hours, Father, be there to support and to help and to deliver. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.